Don't you admire that guy? How many years, EJ, has it took to understand his life? I've been trying for 55 years.
Did y'all hear about that wreck over in Texas a while back? Well, there's this guy going down the highway. Come to the edge of this little town. All of a sudden, he just cut it hard to the left and hit the brake and rolled his vehicle. State Patrol went out there to figure out what happened. Why did he wreck? They discovered that right at the edge of town was a Shell gasoline station. They were putting up a new sign out on the road, and they didn't have the S up yet. He looked up there and saw H-E-L-L, and he just cut it hard to the left and hit the brake. I want to look just a little bit at Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Chapter on faith. Starts out telling us what faith is. Then it tells us how important faith is. And then it tells us many of the things that were accomplished by faith. A very good chapter. I wish it was longer. Down 32nd, he's been telling about all the great things that's happened through faith. What can be accomplished by faith. 32nd verse, he says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jesse and David and Samuel and of the prophets." What he's saying says, I don't have time to tell you about these guys. Well, Carly said I could have 20 minutes this morning, so I want to tell you about one of them, Jephthah. Quite a story. Judges, the 11th chapter, 29th verse. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon unto my hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt sacrifice. What was that guy thinking? So anyway, he was victorious in battle. 34th verse, and Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter. And this next verse proves that this is a human we're talking about. And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. Trying to blame it on her. It wasn't her that made the vow, it was him. Now, isn't that just like we humans are? We get ourselves in trouble and we try to blame somebody else. Thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. He realized the importance of keeping his vow. And we read out there in the last verse. Came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, and he did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed. He vowed he would offer up as a burnt sacrifice, and it says he did. Because he made a vow and realized the importance of keeping his vow. Don't you know that was hard? I was his only child. I've got four of them, and I couldn't do that to any one of my children. Not even Patsy, and you know what a mess she is. I couldn't offer up as a burnt sacrifice. And here's something else about this story that's a little different. She said unto him, My father, as thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. I should say, no way, Daddy Paul. You got yourself into this, get yourself out. But Jephthah actually sacrificed his daughter a burnt offering unto God because he had made that vow. And that's, I think, why he's in that chapter, Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, because he believed God, believed what the commandments of God. In Jeremiah 44 and verse 25, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, Ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouth, and fulfilled with your hand, saying, We will surely perform our vows that we have vowed. And then it says, Ye will surely accomplish your vows and perform your vows. How important is it to keep our vows? In Ecclesiastes 5, 4 and 5, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow, than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Numbers 31 and 2. Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word, he shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. No ifs, ands, buts, maybes, or perhaps. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 21. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, then it would be sin in thee. These are the reasons that Jephthah sacrificed his daughter to fulfill the vow that he made to God. So how important are vows? Jim's grinning, he knows what we're going. How about the marriage vow? It's getting ridiculous, the divorces that take place in this country today. I was reading the other day about some divorces that were granted because he snored. Another divorce that was granted because she burnt the dinner. Isn't that ridiculous? So much giving Adam and Eve. If Eve burnt the dinner, do you think God would have took another rib and made him another woman? No, I don't think so. They were man and wife, and it was to be that way as long as they lived. We went to a wedding 18th of this month. And I was pleased to hear the vows made that we've heard so long, but I understand they're kind of leaving them off a lot anymore. As long as we both shall live. A man and a woman, when they take the marriage vows, they are to be man and wife as long as they both shall live. That's the way God intended it. That's the way it was in the beginning. My grandfather went from Illinois to southeastern Colorado, and I think it was 1912. He was a Church of Christ preacher. He rode a horseback all over southeastern Colorado preaching the gospel for years. There was many people came to him and asked him to perform the marriage ceremony for him. And the first thing he would ask them, "Has either one of you been married before?" If the answer was yes, said, "Is that person you married still living?" He didn't ask them if they was divorced. Just asked if that person was still living. And if that person they had married was still living, then he would not perform a marriage ceremony. We read about that. If a person marries again while they've still got a living spouse, it's supposed adultery. Mark 10, 2 through 12. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife?" Tempting him. And he answered and said unto them, "What did Moses command you?" And he said, "Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away." And Jesus answered and said unto them, "For the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder." Let not man put asunder. I believe that means God, man cannot put them asunder. If God joined them together, made them one, what can man do about it? Every judge that ever sat on a bench, every man, woman, and child in the United States together could not undo what God had done. God made them one, and they are one, from them till death. God is the only one who can break a marriage by death. Romans 7, 1 through 3. "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. And the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth." It doesn't say the old judge canceled it. "The woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, that she is no adulteress, even though she be married to another man. After her husband's death, she can be married to another man." 1 Corinthians 7. One, two, three. "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. that the husband render unto the wife new benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. And verse 39, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. Matthew 19, 3 through 6. That light going off, that tell me my 20 minutes is up or what? Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh? Wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. I'm not finding the one I was looking for. Romans 1, 28 through 32. And even though they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. Now, look at this list, what it says here. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers. Could that be people that forsook their marriage vow? I was reading a while back about several places in the United States are going to what they call covenant marriage. Seems to be just a little stronger than making your vows to God that you would love, honor, and cherish till death do us part. A covenant marriage. Where are covenant breakers listed here? Without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in the deeds. I guess I failed to get the one written down here where it says that if a woman is separated from her husband, what it says is she can't marry again. She can go back to her husband. Let her be reconciled to her husband. I thought I had that down here, but I don't. You know, it doesn't say be reconciled to her ex-husband. Be reconciled to her husband. We hear that a lot anymore. So-and-so's ex-wife or so-and-so's ex-husband. That expression didn't come from here. Of ex-husband or ex-wife is not in here. According to Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, the word husband appears 146 times and the word wife appears 330 times, but not once does it say ex-husband or ex-wife. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Oh, there's one more I want to mention. The Apache Indian, possibly the most savage of the savages, had a word for it. At the squaw-taking ceremony, they would say, well, I pronounce it, I don't know how they pronounce it, but the way I pronounce it is Vale Dima, which means forever. Even when the savage Indians understood that marriage must be forever. My friend, if this is the highway you're traveling, if you're not keeping your vows, if you're not keeping your promises, you better cut it hard to the left and hit the brakes, because hell is right down the road. Thank you.